Today's daf is Kuf Aleph. We are finishing Kuf Amud Beis from the Gemara. So we discussed yesterday the case of a woman didn't wait for 3 months in between. She was married to somebody and then she didn't wait for 3 months in between, and she had a son. And we don't know whether the son belongs to the first father or the second father. So regarding Yom Chalitza, we said that he cannot do Yibum with any definite children of either one of them, and they can't do Yibum with his wife. But if there are ones who have a different mother, then they could, because it's either the sister-in-law or they're not related at all, as long as he does Chalitza first. And that's what the Gemara starts off by saying, like we said in previous cases similar to this, that Dafka Mechla Tzvahad Yivumi. There has to first be Chalitza. He has to do Chalitza first, and then they can do Yibum, just in case it is really his sister-in-law, and then he frees her. Aval Yivumi Bereish Allah, he can't do Yibum first without the Chalitza, the Kapoga Bibam Lashuk. Because if it is his sister-in-law, then they would be marrying a Yavama without having a Chalitza. So therefore he has to do the Chalitza first. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Omar Shmuel, Asara Koinim Oimdim, if you have 10 Koinim standing there, Upirishechem Mehem, Obal. Out of this 10 Koinim, one of those 10 guys fathered a child with a woman. We don't know which one it is. Yeah, so the father is definitely a Koyin, because all the choices for who the father could be are all Koyanim. Is Havlad Shtuki. So we say the son is a Shtuki. Now, Shtuki means silence. Generally, Shtuki, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the usual usage of the word Shtuki is that when the kid says, calls his father, his mother says, shush, 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 shush. Right, which implies because he doesn't know who the father is. But here the question is, what do you mean? What are we silencing him from? Says the Gemara. My Shtuki. What are you silencing him from? If you're just saying that we silence him, that he's not able to inherit from the father, well, of course he's not able to. Pshita. He doesn't know who his father is, so of course he can't inherit from his father. So what's Shmuel coming to tell us? Ella says, Gemara, what is Shmuel telling you? He cannot serve as a Kohen. He cannot do a Veda in the Beis HaMikdash. My timer, what's the reason? Why not? Whoever his father was, he was a kosher Kohen. So who cares if we don't know who it is? We know that this kid is a kosher Kohen. Why can't he do a Veda? What's the reason? Omar Kra, because the Pasuk says when Hashem told Pinchas that he would have the gift of Kehuna, V'hoysaloi ulazare acharov, that this covenant of Kehuna will be for him and his children after him. So loy ulazare acharov darshan zegemora be'inan zare meyuchas acharov aleka. You have to have that the children know who the father is. So a Koyan is only allowed to do Avodah, not just if he knows that he's a Koyan, but he has to know who his father is and he's meyuchas to his father. So that's what Shmuel's telling you. Of course not. Yeah, this is talking about Avodah only. Yeah, can't do Avodah. Doesn't say that you can. This is talking about Avodah. So you could give him Truma, why not? Yeah, so it's not the Pshat that he's not a Koyan. He's definitely a Koyan, but this Koyan can't do Avodah, because a Koyan's only allowed to do Avodah if he knows who his father is. This is what Shmuel says. Maski for Rav Papa. So Rav Papa asked a question on this. If you're going to learn from Leila Zari Akhrov that, let's say, a Koyan who doesn't know who his father is can't do Avodah, so you're telling me that it's an exclusion. Yeah, that it's only when it talks about Zari Akhrov, it only means someone who knows who his father is. So when Hashem said to Avram, when he was telling him to give a bris milah, Gabi Avram, when the Rebbeinu Shlom said that we will have this, you'll have a bris, and then Hashem will be for you a God and your children after you. So again, you're going to tell me that Zarecha Charecha means what? Some kind of exclusion? What's it? What's Hashem saying over there? That you have to know who the father is, and if you don't know who the father is, you don't give a kid a bris. What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, Achika Amalei, lo. No, by the Avram, it's different. He's not telling him that the bris only applies if you know who the father is. The line begins with the word lei. We're up to. Yep. This what the Eibush is saying is like tinsav averes kechavim v'shivcha. What he's saying there is that's a warning: don't marry a non-Jewish woman to lo lezel zaracha basra, because then it won't be your children. Because a child born to a non-Jewish woman is not Jewish, and therefore zaracha charecha is a warning. Make sure that your children follow you and are Jewish. But how do you make sure your children are Jewish when you're marrying a Jewish woman? Yeah.
Say somebody's Jewish, they
don't learn from this. Yeah, but okay. So this isn't like a loisa say. This is more of a hira. Yeah, zara
hacharecha. Okay, but the point is, why can't you say that anybody who's Avraham?
So the Torah is coming to exclude something. The Torah is coming to exclude something, just like with the Kohen. It's excluding the Kohen that doesn't know who his father is. So here it's excluding the child who's a descendant of Avram but isn't from a Jewish mother. So exclusion. Meisavei, Freddy Gemara, another Kash on Shmuel. Shmuel said a Kohen who doesn't know who his father is cannot do Avodah. Frek, we learn, Rishon Roy Li is Kohen Gadol. That this son born for this the son born here is suitable to be a Kohen Gadol because she knows that he comes from a Kohen. How can he be suitable to be a Kohen Gadol? Well, but in Zarim Yuchasachra Veleko, it has to know who the father is. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Zarim Yuchasachra is Drabonon. The whole concept that the Kohen needs to know who his father is only Midrabonon. The cross machtabi alma, and it's only a the pasuk that we said Zari Acharov, that was just a supporting pasuk. It wasn't really, that's not really what the pasuk means. So really, that case of 10 koyanim, and one of them went and had a one-night stand with a woman and had a child, and the kid is a koyan. So in that case, the chachamim were goyzer that he shouldn't do avoda. But chi gozer rabbonon is only biznus. They were only goyzer in the case where it was nus. So with these 10 koyanim, the case that Shmuel was talking about was it where it was a Be'ilas Nus. So they said, you know what? A Kohen, whose father's a Kohen, but he came about through an act of Znus, and he doesn't know who the father is, then we're not going to let him do Mavoda. But Benesuin, Lo Gozo Rabbonon. But in a case where it was, he was married to one, and she didn't wait 3 months, and he doesn't know who the father is, so there was no Znus there. It's just that she was married to both of them. It was all legitimate, just she didn't wait long enough. So in that case, they weren't geyser when they said he can be a Kohen Gadol here. Fredrik wanted a biter of his nus, mi gozer rabbanon. Even so, still asking against Shmuel, did they really geyser in a case where the father was a bi'ilas nus to produce this child who's a Kohen? But now, within the Mishnah, mishlei shasachar b'ilas shleisha chadoshim, this is our Mishnah, if she didn't wait 3 months after her first husband, and v'nisa, since she married somebody else, v'yolda, and she had a child, is what's the case that we're talking about over here, really? My achar baila, what does it mean? She didn't wait after her husband. So that implies that she was married to the first guy, and she was married to the second guy. Yeah? But that is that's a false impression. Why? Because ilema achar misas baila, if the pshat is that she was married to the first guy, and then he died, so we're talking about after the death of the first husband, she didn't wait 3 months, is ema sefer. Let's look at what it says later on in the Mishnah. That who oinen aleihem, this child has to keep the dinim of aninus. When they die, he has to keep the dinim of aninus that the first day he's an oinen, who's not allowed, and he's not allowed to do avodah, he's not allowed to do various things, and he has a din of an oinen. V'heim oinenim alav, and they have a din of an oinen on him, misofik, because they don't know, maybe he's their son, so they have to keep aninus on him, and they can't do avodah on the day when he died. Is the question is, Bishlama hu oinon aleihem, how can he be an oinon on two different fathers? Yeah, you said that the first husband died, and then she remarried. So by the time this kid's born, the father's dead. So how can he be an oinon for him if he's died before he was born? When could it be an oinon? So he says, Bishlama, we can find the case. Hu oinon aleihem, eshkachas lo benisuin, you can find a case where she was taka married to both of these men. But he's suing the Shani. She was married to the second guy, so he lived a long life, and he died eventually. And the kid was an oinon when he died. And the first one is likur atzama is takama. when the first one, it could be when he collected the bones. So if a child takes his parent, his father's bones, it's his body, and he reburies him, he reinters him, yeah. So on that day when he got dug up and moved, that there is a din of aninus on that day also, as if it was the day when he died. So it's possible for this kid that he has a case with both of them, even though the first one died before he was born, where he would have to misafik, keep aninus for both of them. How are you going to find a case where they can both be an oinen when he died? Kama hamesle. The first guy was dead before he was born. So by the time the kid died, the first father for sure can't be an oinen because he was dead first. The only way it can be is the first father was still alive. So the first father is still alive. So that what is that? So how does she get to marry someone else? Begrusha. Must be the first husband didn't die. It must be the first husband divorced her. And he's still alive. Yeah? But one minute, we're talking here about Koyanim. What are you going to say then? That when she didn't wait after her husband, it means she got a get from her first husband, didn't wait 3 months and married the second husband, and then had a kid. But wait a second. Ema Seifa, let's look at the next part. Who Ema Tamilahim? He's not allowed to become Tomei when they die, because just in case it's not his father, a Koyan is not allowed to become Tomei Mace. The Heim Ena Metamin Loy, and they cannot become Tomei when he died, again, because it might not be their son, so they can't become Tomei Mace. What's going on here? Bishlama Heine Metamin Loy, it's clear why they can't be Metami to him, Lechumra, because we're stricter. The Cholchad Vacha, Dilmulav Breyu, each one, maybe it's not his son. Elahu emitami lehem. Why can't he be mitami for them? Amai, why? Bishlam olasheni lemitami le. I understand why he can't be mitami to the second one, because if he's the son of the first one, so he's a legitimate koyin, and the second one is not his father, so he can't be mitami. Elah risha in litmele manavshach. But when the first one died, yeah, so that means the guy who divorced her and he's still alive, and then he died later. Why can't the son be mitami? If he's the son of that first one, then he's allowed to be metami for his father, even though he's a koyin. And if he's really the son of the second one, is also shaprakam metamele, he should still be allowed to be metami for the first one, because what does that mean if he's the son of the second one? The second one married a grusha, and he's as a koyin who married a grusha, the kid is a cholol, he's not a koyin anyway. The cholol who? So he could be metami because a cholol doesn't have to keep any of the laws of koyin. So how could that be? So it can't be that the first one divorced her and then the second one married her. El Allah, the only way it can work is biznus. Yeah, that there was, it wasn't marriage. The first guy didn't marry her. He only was de facto, illegitimate, yeah? And that's why, Umay Achar Baila, either Mishnah says she didn't wait after her husband, it means Achar Boyala, after her lover, yeah, the guy who she was having an affair with, yeah? So therefore, what do we say there? That this kid is potentially, at least from the first one, maybe was born from Znus. Yeah? Maybe with the second one he was married, she was married to him, but the first one was from Znus. And what is your premise, Shmuel? That a kid, a Koyin, is born from Znus is not allowed to do Avoida. The Katani, what he doesn't know who the father is, the Katani is safer, but at the end of the Mishnah it says, that he can come and do Avoida as part of the Mishmar, part of the rotation of Koyanim, yeah, the weekly rotation of Koyanim, either with either one of them. So he's doing Avoida. It's to Yuf to the Shmuel, because it says clearly that this kid can do Avoida, even though he came from Znus, and even though he doesn't know who his father is. It's a kasha to Shmuel. Is Omar of Shmaya, says Rav Shmaya, no. What's the case of the Mishnah, Bimama Enes? There was no Znus over here. There was that she did Miyun with the first husband. What's Miyun? Miyun means that the mother's father died, so her mother or her brother married her off with her little kid to this guy, and then so the din is when she turns 12, if she doesn't like him, she just says goodbye Charlie and she walks out. She doesn't need a get, so she's not a grusha. Okay, so what happened was she married the first guy, sort of this kiddushin that her mother made for her, and she had a kid. Or she maybe had, she didn't wait. Sorry, she wait. She after 3 months she turned 12 and said, "Miyun, I don't like you. I'm leaving." And then within 3 months she married somebody else, and then she had a kid 7 months later. So we don't know whether it was the first husband or second husband. There was no znus over here. Nobody did anything wrong. Yeah, when the first husband was living with her, it was completely correct. The only thing is that she is allowed to walk out on him without a get. So she's not a grusha, and therefore she can marry the second one as well. And therefore that can be the case where they're both still alive, and there's no divorcee, and there's no problem. But and therefore that's what the Mishnah's talking about, where he has to be an onan for both of them. Fred, the Gemara, just a second. What's a Mema Enes? Mema Enes means that when she turned 12, she walked out on him. So you're telling me that she, what's the suffix? That maybe she was pregnant already before she turned 12. Yeah? Is Mema Enes Mika Yolda, a girl before she's 12, could it be that she had a kid from the first husband before she conceived before she was 12 years old? We learned before that there were three women who are allowed to use contraception. A katana, if she's a child, a muberis, if she's pregnant, a manika, and if she's nursing. What were the reason? A katana, the reason why a katana is allowed to use contraception, shema tisaber, because if she does conceive, it tumbles, it'll kill her, body's not able to take it. So therefore, she would be dead. A muberis, shema tasa ubrasandal, and we said this is just by the way, the pregnant woman, because if she somehow conceives a second child while she's got the first one still in her womb, then they would press each other and it would kill the first one. And Manika Shema Tigmal has bino v'yamus. And the nursing mother shouldn't, because if she conceives, then she will wean off the child who's nursing and he might die of hunger. So those are the three cases. But what's the situation of a katana? V'ezehi katana. What's this katana we're talking about? Mibas achasas v'shana v'yemechad ad bas shtemas v'shana v'yemechad. From the age of 11 till the age of 12. That's when, if she conceived, it would kill her. Pachas mikan, or yeser alkan, if she's less than 11, or she's more than 12, then mishameshes kedaka v'elechas. Then there's no problem, because if she's less than 11, then she's not going to conceive, and if she's more than 12, it won't kill her. But in between the age of 11 and 12, it will kill her. And now you're saying that that's what the case of the Mishnah is, that she might have conceived before, just before she turned 12. Well, according to this, she couldn't physically, it's impossible. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chachamim argue with Rabbi Meir. They don't argue about the physical consequences, but they just say, you leave it up to God to worry about. Achazu v'achazu mishameshes kedaka. They don't use any contraceptions. You're worried that something might happen. Mishameshes kedaka v'heleches. U'min ha-shamayim yirachmu. You rely on Hashem to look after her and the kids, that nothing should go wrong. Shenem Hashem repsoyim Hashem. As we say, the pasuk says, Hashem looks after fools, literally, which means that you do what you need to do, and you know Hashem will take care of you, even if what you're doing you're worried about potential problems, you rely on Hashem to look after you. So that's a machloikis about whether she should use contraception or not. But there's no machloikis here in the concept that a girl conceiving before the age of 12 could not survive. So that can't be the case over here. Answers the Gemara, you're right. What are we going to talk about? Mashkachas lo b'kiddushei tos. We're talking about where the first one, there was a kiddushin, a mistaken kiddushin. It was al tznai. Yeah? The first one says, harei ha-mekudeshes li almanas, that I'm a millionaire, or that I'm going to do something. Yeah? On condition that in 6 months from now, I'm going to, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, he said I'm gonna win Tats Lotto. So he makes this tnai in the kiddushin, and then so until the tnai is proven false, she's married to him, sort of pending. So it's not as nus though. Right? It's no prohibition for her to be with him. Then if it turns out the tnai wasn't fulfilled, then the kiddushin is off retrospectively. But meanwhile she might be pregnant. Yeah. The hilain is pasa. The din is, so it says by the soita. A soita, we're talking about a woman who was unfaithful to her husband. The hilain is pasa. She wasn't forced. She wasn't grabbed and forced. Is then asura. So she's not allowed to go back to her first husband. Yeah, if she intentionally and voluntarily had an affair with somebody else, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. Han is pasa. What if she is forced? Is muteris, then she can go back to her husband. But it says v'hi. In this case, it depends on whether she was forced or voluntary. But yesh l'cha acheres, in other case, sh'afal pishul edis pasa muteris. Even when it was voluntary, is muter. V'ezezu, what's that? Shekidusha kiddushu tois. That she can. That when the kiddushin was a mistake. Yeah, so then if she ends up marrying somebody else, that first kiddushin didn't count. Shafila, but not murkavla al kseifa, that even if she's got a child from this man, she can, well, Mama Enes is a love dafka here. She's not doing miyun here. We're talking about that the marriage didn't take effect in the first place, but nevertheless she had a child. So the child was born when she was pendingly married to him, and then retrospectively that marriage didn't take effect because some condition on the marriage was not fulfilled. Yeah, so in that case...
Without any equivocation, she bears a child from the second husband and the husband.
So we don't know who the father was in that case.
No, we know the father is the second father. Which
we know the father's second, but that's not the case of the Mishnah.
Yeah, no.
The Mishnah says that she didn't wait 3 months. Yeah.
No,
okay, we talked about Kiddush Yotoyos then also. Yeah. Yeah, but here we have to find a case where she was with one guy, and then within 3 months of leaving him, she married somebody else. So the case is where the first guy, there was some conditional marriage, and the condition wasn't fulfilled, and then she went off to marry somebody else, and then she had the kid, and we don't know who the father was. Okay, so that was Shmuel's case. Next one, so top of the page. So this was in the Mishnah. This is on Shmuel. This is back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the case where the two potential fathers were both Koyanim, so he doesn't have an inus on them, and they don't have an inus on him, etc. It's all sveikus, and we have to give him the chumras either way. So now, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned in a braisa, hikazeh v'chazeh v'hikazeh. What happens if this kid hit one of the fathers, and then he hit the other one? So the din is a kid, makeh aviv is chayiv misa, yeah, if he makes a bruise. And what happens, so if he only hit one of them, so you can't punish him, because maybe it's not his father. What if he whacked both of them? So one of them was for sure his father. Similarly, kilel zeh v'chazeh v'kilel zeh. One who curses his father is also chayav misa. What happens if he cursed only one of them? We can't punish him because we don't know if it was the father or not. What if he cursed both of them? So for sure, somewhere in there was the father. So kilel zeh v'chazeh v'kilel zeh. What about kilel shneim v'basachas? And if that doesn't count, what happens if he cursed them both at once? In one sentence, he cursed both of them. A minute. He kushnev asachas. So he whacked them both together. He took a big stick, and they were both standing there, and he went wham, and he hit both of them at once. Is, yeah, chayiv. So then, like Yehuda said, that's clearly in those cases, he's done. But the Tanakhama is saying not only but once, Tanakhama is implying that even one after the other is also chayiv, because he must have hit his father or cursed his father at some point, so therefore he's chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is what you say. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bebas achas chayiv." If he did them both at once, then he's chayiv because he's hit his father there. But bezer chazeh is potter. One after the other is potter. The reason is, as Rashi explains, because when you, in order to make somebody chayiv in the circumstances, you have to give him a warning. You have to warn him that if you do it, you're going to be chayiv misa, and he has to say, "Okay, I'm doing it anyway." Otherwise, you can't give him a death penalty without any warning. Right, so when you warned him, if you did it one after the other, each time you warned him, don't hit that guy, it's a suffix, because it might be that it's not his father. So that warning is called a hasra suffix. It's a warning, but it's a not for sure warning. It's you might be hitting your father. That's not a good enough warning that you might be hitting your father to give him a death penalty. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says, if it's one after the other, every time he was warned not to do it, there was always a doubtful warning. And therefore, he's not getting a punishment. But if he's hitting them both at once, and I give you a warning, don't hit both of them, yeah, that's a definite hasra. Because if you hit both of them, it's for sure you're hitting your father. So that is a definite hasra, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that if he whacks them both at once, or curses them both at once, then he'll be chayu. So that's the brisa. Fred the Gemara, we have a different brisa where Rabbi Yehuda says different. V'atan, you're the brisa Rabbi Yehuda. Omer, potter v'basachas, that even if he does it at once, he's potter. So how come over here he says he agrees that he's chayiv? So the Gemara answers, so first of all, we have to say there are two people arguing, what did Rabbi Yehuda actually hold? Now, that's the question number one. Okay, so they argue what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Question number two is, my time at the Mount of Potter. Logically, if a person warns him, don't hit both of them together, and he does, so according to the first version, Rabbi Yehuda said he's chayiv. Okay, we understand, that's logical. But what's the reason of the guy who says he's potter? What reason is there to let him off the hook if he whacked them both at once? because it's a gzeres shava. Nema bracha lamata. Bracha is a euphemism here. Bracha, it really means a curse. Yeah, it talks about cursing the father. It talks about cursing Hashem. We call it bracha because we want to say a nice thing. So it says the cursing regarding cursing a father. When nema bracha lamaila, and it talks about cursing lamaila the Rabbanu Shalom. There's also one who curses Rabbanu Shalom. Also Chaim Yisra. Ma'ala ma'ala shem b'shutf. It's just like the Rabbanu Shalom. There's no partner. There's no doubt. Which one is it? Are there two of them? Two of them at once. There's one God, and that's it. Zaf lamata shem b'shufus. When is Yechayev lamata? When he hits his earthly father, when there's no other guy in there who could also be the father. It has to be clear who the father is. And if not clear who the father is, even if you whack them both, he's going to be potter. That's what this version of Rabbi Yehuda says. So that's talking about cursing. How do I know about hitting? It's the same thing, because iskish hakal leklala, that hitting and cursing is compared to each other. If you look in the Parshas Mishpatim, there's two psukim close to each other. One talks about cursing the father. One talks about hitting the father. There is a posuk in between, and there's a whole debate about whether you can call that a comparison. Usually, two psukim, one next to each other, we say, well, the Torah put them together. We compare them to each other. If there's one posuk in between, then it's not so clear cut. So there's a machlokes whether that's considered a hekesh or not. But this guy holds that it is considered a hekesh even with one posuk in between, and therefore the same thing applies by hitting.
But this one after the other, and the warning and all that, gets off on a technicality, it doesn't seem to be right.
Getting people off of death penalty on technicality? Sounds good to me. What's wrong with that? You can't kill somebody unless you have all the rules followed to the letter. Okay, but he has to have warning. You can't punish somebody without proper warning. If the warning is not a real warning, then you can't punish him.
That's where you have the thing of the axe falling.
You want to be.
Can you put a noifel?
You want to be. You want to try to save people.
Was the noifel? Can you put a noifel man? He was a walking dead man because he was chayav misa for another reason.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. So we said what he. We don't give him a portion of the karbonis, but he can go and do the avoda in whichever mishmar he wants. For Eder Gemara, what's the point? If he's not allowed to eat the kachim, he's not going to take a portion of the kachim, of the karbonis. Says Lama Oila, what's the point of him going to do the Aveda? So the Gemara says Lama Oila, what do you mean? Why should he do the Aveda? Ha'amar ba'ina l'nev a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do Aveda. So he says, okay, you're not going to let me eat a piece of the meat. Good, but I still want to do the karbonis. It's a mitzvah. I'm a koyim. Ela, Allah leketani. That if he did, it's okay. That's the Mishnah doesn't need to tell you that. Of course, if he did, it's okay. Ella oila bal karche. What we're telling him, what it says oila here is on the contrary, to say that even if he doesn't want to, then we force him to. That he has to do avoda. That the family can force him to join with them to do avoda. The family of either one. Yeah. Omar Ravacha bar Chanina. Omar Rabaya. Omar Ravasi. Omar Rabbi Yechida. Mishum pegam mishpacha. The family of, if people think that this guy is part of this family or part of that family, and he doesn't do Aveda, then everyone's going to go, ooh, they've got a black sheep in the family. Look at him, he's not allowed to do Aveda. So it's embarrassing for the family. The family doesn't want to have somebody like that. So even though they're not sure he's the family, but because people are talking, therefore they can say, come and do Aveda with us. So if you are part of our family, we won't be embarrassed. For both of them, that's right. Yeah. Okay, next one. Vima yishneim b'mishmar. If they were both in the same mishmar, he's even allowed to get a piece of the meat, a chelik of the meat. Fred the gemara maish now shnei mishmar is deloy. Why isn't he allowed to get a chelik of the korban when there were two mishmaris? The ozel laha mishmar omatchalei, because he goes to one and they push him away and say you're not part of us. The ozel laha mishmar omatchalei, and he goes to the second one and they push him away and say you're not part of us. Is mishmar echanami the same thing within one mishmar? Ozel lahai beis of omatchalei, ozel lahai beis of omatchalei. Each mishmar is divided into six for the 6 days of the week. So when he comes on Wednesday, they'll say no, you're a Thursday guy. When he comes on Thursday, they'll say no, you're not with us. You're a Wednesday guy. So he still has the same problem. It's Amar Rav Papa Hachi Kamar. Ima Yishnei Mishmar Echad Ubeis of Echad Noita Chelik Echad. If these two Suffolk fathers were in the same week and the same day, they're both Thursday guys of the same week, then either way, this guy's entitled to his Chelik, so therefore he gets a Chelik. Hajlach Noisim Alonusa. says the Mishnah Vayter, mitzvahs chalitza b'shloisha dayonim. When chalitza is taking effect, it has to be done with three judges. V'afilu shloshtan hedyotis. We don't really need qualified judges like Sanhedrin. They can just be three anybody's. Hedyot means not a qualified judge, just any three people. Chalitza b'minol, if she used a minol. So minol is a kind of shoe with soft leather. Rashi says ke'en chalona, like our shoes. I don't know what Rashi's shoe was like. But soft, so that's not considered a real shoe. The soft leather for some, maybe it's like sneakers, I don't know. So it wasn't considered, it's not really a shoe, so to speak.
Crocs.
Crocs aren't leather, though. Chalitzasa kshera. So that, it's still good, even though it wasn't a formal shoe, it was a casual shoe. But on pilya, but if it's only made out of cloth, then a cloth shoe, like a socks or one of those booties you get on the plane, is chalitzasa psula. Then it's no good, because it has to be something that protects your foot, and that doesn't. B'sandal sheyesh le'okiv kosher. So sandal, what he calls a sandal, is not a sandal. It's a real, that's what a shoe is. It's got a hard bottom, yeah? So that's what you're supposed to use. But what happens if the heel is missing? Is v'she'en le'okiv, then it's, if the heel is there, sheyesh le'okiv is kosher. She'en le'okiv, if the heel is missing, is possible. Min ha'kubo l'mata, if a person is an amputee, yeah, but so if he was amputated from the ankle and below, chalitza kshera, then you can still do chalitza on the bottom stump of the foot. Minu akuba lomailo, but if he's amputated above the ankle, is chalitza psula, then you can't do it, even though if you stick a shoe on it somehow and she takes it off, that doesn't work. Chalitza besandal she'en shaloi, if she used a shoe that wasn't his, or besandal shal eitz, or it was made out of wood, not leather, or it was a left shoe and she put it on his right foot and then took it off. Chalitza kshera. All of those cases, they are still kosher. Chalitza begodol sheyolech l'achba. If the shoe was too big on him, but it wasn't so big that he couldn't walk in it. It was a little bit big, but he could still walk in it. Or if it's too small, but it's big enough to cover most of his foot, is also chalitza kshera, then it's still kosher. You just said that three ordinary people is good enough. Is dayanim lamali? Why does the Mishnah say shloisha dayanim? Why say dayanim? We don't need dayanim. Just say shloisha.
But they're just called dayanim.
Yeah, but why use the word dayanim? Dayanim implies qualified judges. So why do you say that? Why don't you just say mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha? We'll stop. And to Gemara, Kamash Milan, that they have to be similar to Dayanim, they have to be knowledgeable somewhat. They have to be able to tell them what to say. Like judges who know lots, they have to know enough, because the wording in the ceremony of Chalitza, the Torah says, she has to say this and he has to say that, and they have to say exactly the words that are in there in Lashon Kodesh, so they need Dayanim who can tell them exactly what to say. So the Mishnah is a proof of what it says in the Braisa. Mitzvah chalitza is b'shloisha shayodim lahakris kein dayonim. The mitzvah chalitza, you need three. They don't have to be Sanhedrin, but they have to be know enough to tell them what to say, like dayonim who know that. So there's three. Rabbi Yehuda, now we have another thing. Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer b'chamish. Rabbi Yehuda says five people, not three. My time, Tanakama. Why does Tanakama say three? The Tanya with the Braisa. Zikanim, Shnayim. It says there that she goes to the Zikanim. Zikanim is a plural number, so what's the smallest plural number is two. The Ein Bezdin Shokul. You cannot have an even numbered Bezdin, because a Bezdin, by definition, has to be someone who can have a vote and get a majority. So it has to be an odd number, so that when you have a vote, there's a majority. So Ein Bezdin Shokul is there from a Sifon Le'amoyd Echad. Therefore, you have to add one more to make an odd number. Harei Kan Shloisha, you get three. Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's five, because it says two psukim there. One says Zikne Yair, and one says Zikenim. So the two psukim, each one is two. Zikne is two, Zikenim Mishnayim is two, more is four. Ein based in Shokol, I can't have an even number. Masif on Amoid Echad, I add on one more. Harekan Chamisha, so I have five. The Tanakama, hi Zikne, my Yavile, Tanakama doesn't count the Zikne. What does he do with it? Miboy Leil Ribuy, Yafil Shleisha Jaitis. That's the pasuk that he uses to say that they don't have to be experts, that as long as they can read it to him, as long as there's ziknei enough to be able to read the words, then they're good enough, they don't need to be Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yehuda hajotis menole, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that they don't have to be Sanhedrin or qualified judges? Nafka leme le'ene. It means that, because it says, the pasuk says that it has to be to the eyes of the judges, or the Zikanim. The Zikanim have to be able to see the chalitza. The Amar Mar Le'ene, why does it say they have to be able to see it? Prat L'sumim, that means if they're blind, it's no good. They have to be able to see it. So what does that mean? That this pasuk is telling you that a blind person can't be the judge of Chalitza. The fact that Torah has to exclude a blind person is shma mino da filu hadyotis. It must be that we're not talking about Sanhedrin. The isak adaitach Sanhedrin, but inam, because if we're talking about Sanhedrin, lom lelemotisum, and you don't need to exclude blind people because the people in Sanhedrin cannot be blind anyway. Midatani Reb Yosef nafki, we learn it from what Reb Yosef said. The Tani Reb Yosef, geshem shebeisdin menukim, but said that just like beisdin have to be clean in terms of honesty and righteousness, kach beisdin menukim mikolmum. Similarly, beisdin is not supposed to have any blemishes. Shenemar kulach yafir ra'asi umumainbach, that you are all beautiful and you have no mums. The idach. So therefore, why doesn't the other guy learn from there also? Because he says, "Ahu le'enei mayavile." What does he do with le'enei? Ahu lechad ravahu da'asa. That's to learn like rava. The amar rava tzrichi dayanim lemechse reik the gadafim mipume the yavama, that the dayanim have to actually see the spit when she spits in front of him. She's, they've got to see the spit come out of her mouth. The chsev le'enei has a kainim v'yarka, because it has to be to the eyes of the. To the eyes of the Skenim, but they see it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda also needs it to learn out like Rava. Says the Gemara, yes, you have to learn out from the Enei that they have to see it. So how does he know then that they don't have to be from Sanhedrin? Nafke may be Yisrael. It says, Lahakim Akim Shem be Yisrael. Yisrael called to who? Yisrael, as long as he's Jewish, is good enough. So what does the other guy do with the extra Yisrael for? It tells you that the judges have to be fully born Yisraelim and not converts. That's what he learns from Yisrael. And so what does the other guy, how does the other guy know that? Because Yisrael Achrinixiv, it says you'd be Yisrael twice. So one is to tell you that it can be a hedyotis, and the other one to tell you it can't be gerim. The idach, what does the other guy do with the second be Yisrael? Me boy lechidatanya, he learns out like it says in the brisa. Om Rabbi Yehuda, pam machas yinu yeshu lifnei Rav Tarfon. We were once sitting before Rav Tarfon, who boy yevom alachle, to came a case of chalitza, va'om alonu, and he said to us, anu kulchem chalutzanal. Everybody has to answer, v'nikra shmei be Yisrael, beis chalutzanal, that everybody, every Jew who sees it, has to say chalutzanal. That's what he learns out from Yisrael. I ve'idach, how does the other guy know that? Me v'nikra nafka, just by saying v'nikra. So that's enough to tell you that everybody who's nearby has to say it. All right, we'll leave it over here.